Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for allowing us all to be here and gather together in your name. Lord, as we get ready to have this service, I just ask that you'd minister through me, Lord, and send your Holy Spirit and just give us a message from you. Father, we're anxious to hear from you and just want something that we can apply to everyday life, take with us and use in days to come. Make our life easier and better and stronger. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, since this is a memorial race today, I thought we ought to do something to remember just the basics as to what we believe. Just kind of go through a few basics. And I want to start with Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You know, a lot of people question that, whether he did or whether he didn't. Me personally, I don't question it. Romans 1:20 has a really good verse that I'd like to read, kind of put in there. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Now, basically what that tells me is that if you have an open mind and I look at all these things around us on how they work together, on how everything works, that the only conclusion I can come up with is that there was a creator that put this all together. You know, I don't think we evolved from pond scum on the bottom of the pond like some people try to tell us. And according to this verse, and if you really look at it with an open mind, you know, that's the conclusion we have to come to. It says in Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So God made all that in 6 days. There's a lot of discussion on that, whether it was 6 time periods that he made all this stuff in, or whether he made it in 6 days. Now, a God that can create all this, I'm sure, can do it in 6 real days just as easy as he could in 6 time periods. But I'm not going to get hung up on that either way. He still created all of it. But we go on from there. It says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." You know, that's an example that he gives us there, I think. Because I can't imagine that God would get tired like we do. But he worked 6 days, and the seventh day he took off. Well, I think it's an example for us. He wants us to do that. And I don't know how many of you have ever tried to work 7 days a week. I have in the past. And after a while, you start getting burned out. You start getting cranky. And just ask my wife. She'll tell you. I mean, God has a purpose for that seventh day. I mean, it's not just to worship him. It's for us to recuperate. I know, you know, I have a few guys that work under me for the company that I work for. And I actually try to limit them to 10-hour days, 5 days a week, if at all possible. Because if you do much more than that, after a while, you get burned out. You know, I've seen them try to work 12-hour days. Well, they'll do their, I mean, they're good guys. They do their best. But you can just stand there and watch. After about 9, 10 hours, they start slowing down. 11 and 12, you ain't getting much. And it's like, you know, if they give you 10 good hours versus 12 so-so hours, you're probably getting more. And God knows that. We need rest. We got to replenish ourselves, be it our mind, body, or spirit. And that's why I think he gave us that day. But let's go on. We've established that God created the world. He gives us direction on how we should live in it. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." I think we've all heard of the Garden of Eden. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. for when you eat of it, you will surely die. I mean, we all know what happened. I mean, that's even people that don't go to church, most of them know what happened on this part. You know, they ate from the tree. Something about doing things you're not supposed to, it's just appealing to us. That's just like driving down the freeway at 70 mile an hour. You know, speed limit 70, but nah, we can get by with 75. You know, maybe even 80 on some days. We all do it. Ain't one of us, well, not every, I'm not going to say we all do it, but I know I do it. I'll be honest. You know, some days we get a little faster than that even. So there's something about doing the things we're not supposed to do that just appeals to us. So needless to say, they messed up. You know, they got kicked out of the garden for it. The bad thing is, if we read that verse 17 again, it said, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Uh-oh. Because of that, all of a sudden, now death came. You know, they were going to live in that garden without problem. God knew ahead of time they were going to do this, but he still didn't make them do that. It's just human nature that took over. So they did this. They got kicked out of the garden. Now, a lot of people think God's just sitting up there with his arms crossed, just waiting for us to mess up. That way he can beat up on us. And I found a scripture in Ezekiel that's kind of cool. It says, "For I take no pleasure in death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." Hey, God doesn't want anybody to die. Now, you wouldn't think that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, no, you just look at the Old Testament. All the people that, you know, he had killed and all this stuff. The end purpose is good. God always has the best in mind. And we don't always understand why he does things or how he does it, but it says it right here. You know, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." Well, what the heck is repentance? That's a word you don't hear very often nowadays. You know, you hear a lot about following Jesus, but what is repentance? Well, you can list a paragraph about this long to explain it. I'm just going to hit three high points. Recognizing our sin is one step of repentance. Realizing that our sin is wrong, that's another step. And the third one is turning away from our sin. That's what true repentance really is. So how does that fit in with being saved? Well, we'll see shortly. We'll come to that part after a minute. But we did establish God wants us to repent and live. That's what he wants. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So we'll go on. I want to read a verse. You know, what did God do to make it possible? Because here we just found out that Adam and Eve did wrong, and because of it, death came into the world. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So what does God do now? Because God's a perfect God, and he can't handle sin. And now there's got to be a way for human beings to get back with him, because he wants us to live forever with him. So what does he do? Well, we'll read the two famous verses that everybody knows. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We're back to what I was talking about earlier. He's not sitting up there with his arms crossed waiting for us to mess up. He's sitting up there wanting us to succeed, and he's going to do whatever is in his power to help us succeed as long as we accept that. Because we have free will. That's why we do those little things that are wrong and enjoy them, even so we're not supposed to. So let's go on. He sent Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Now, you hear a lot about Jesus. And if you listen to a lot of the New Age religions and stuff, you know, they have their own Jesus. But it's not the same Jesus that we believe in. You say, huh? Yeah, you start reading. I mean, we're not going to get into it. We don't have time to get into it. But you got to make sure that the Jesus that you believe in is the Son of God. Well, who is Jesus? Well, Colossians 1:15, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Bingo, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. And this is something that's real hard for me to get a full handle on. But we serve one God. Well, that God's made up of three persons. We've God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus is God the Son, obviously. But they're one God. They're three persons tied together as one God. That's a little hard to understand, but I don't have to totally understand it, because the God that I serve is so big that if I understood everything, he wouldn't be all that big anymore. So I have to just believe it, even so I don't totally understand it. But let's go on from there. You know, why did God do this? Well, first I want to read Romans 5:6. You know, it says, "You see that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Or is he doing it just because he loves us? God is love. He has this huge capacity for love, and he wants to give that love to us. And he had to come up with a way that we could spend our eternity with him. And the only way that he was able to make that possible was by sending his son to die for us. And because of that, we can spend eternity with him. But in the conclusion, wait a minute, I've got one more verse I want to read before I go to the conclusion. Yeah, what we said, what does God want in return? He just wants our love. What do we have to do? It says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's Acts 2:21. It's very basic. He just wants us to realize we need him and call on him that he can save us. And with that, I want to come to the conclusion. So what is being saved, and truly being saved, what is it? Well, first we got to realize that we need a Savior. Because if we don't realize that, it doesn't make any sense. We need to realize that we're not good enough for God the way we are, because he wants us to be perfect, and we can be perfect through Jesus. The second thing, we have to receive the free gift that is being offered. In other words, we have to say, this free gift, what is it? Well, it's the fact that Jesus came, died for our sin, rose 3 days later, is now in heaven with God preparing a place for us. We have to believe that he did that for us. That's the free gift. And when we accept that free gift, that brings about the repentance that I was talking about. It will produce that in us. It's not something that we can conjure up. Have you ever tried to be good? I mean, you say to yourself, you know, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I know I did it today, but tomorrow I'm not doing this. You know, whatever it might be. I mean, something, it can be little things, big things. You know, you get up the next morning by 10 o'clock. Oh, man, I just did it again. And it's like a broken record. Some things are like a broken record. They just keep repeating themselves. That's because we can't even handle our own repentance. We got to have God's help in it. So when we struggle with things that just repeat themselves over and over, we got to give them to God. So we accept what Jesus did for us. Because of that, we're saved. And then if we truly did it, we will notice that there's a change in us, that we will want to be different. And when we want to be different, we can call on him for his help. That's just an awesome thing. And with that, I would like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for everything you have done for us. This message was in your memory. Lord, alone we can't accomplish any of this. That's why it's so awesome that you accept E for effort. You help us succeed if we call on you. You help us to believe. You help us to repent. You help us to do all these things. We don't have to do them on our own. That's what makes you so great. So many religions teach that you got to do this, you got to do that in order to get better. Where all you teach is that we need to call on you. And because of that, things will change. So we just thank you so much for that. And we just praise you and worship you for it. Lord, as we get ready to go racing this morning, Lord, we again want to thank you for this awesome day. It couldn't be any more perfect for racing. Father, I ask that you'd watch over us, protect us, let us have a good time. Remember to do everything for your glory. And just have a good day in you. In Jesus' name, amen.